Hi, I'm Darlene Sanchez, and I cover immigration for the Epoch Times. Today's story is about El Salvador, a country south of Mexico that is now playing an important role in President Donald Trump's efforts to deport criminal illegal immigrants. This has to do with the construction of CECOP, El Salvador's Terrorism Confinement Center. It has been used by President Nayib Bukele to lock up dangerous criminals, and it caught the attention of President Donald Trump. While campaigning, he vowed to shut down the U.S. southern border, where most of the 11 million illegal immigrants crossed into the country under President Joe Biden. The Trump administration has prioritized finding and deporting criminal gang members, such as Tren de Agua of Venezuela, and this is where El Salvador comes into play. Many Salvadorians that I spoke to told me they now feel safe from gangs that killed and robbed at will before Bukele was elected. I traveled to Playa Tunco, a coastal city facing the Pacific Ocean in El Salvador. Rhythmic Latin music played softly in the background as Patricia Salvador wept at a restaurant overlooking the gray sea of her native El Salvador. Her voice grew husky as she gazed out at the crashing waves, her tone grim as she recounted the horrors of her life as an 11-year-old growing up in a country torn by civil war. Until just weeks ago, it had been 42 years since she had set foot in her homeland, after having fled to the United States with her mother and siblings to build a safe new life. She was driven to tears, recalling the bittersweet moment last month when she stepped off the plane onto the terra firma of her childhood. "I left. Now I come back, and I don't know the country. I don't know my land," she said, her voice breaking. Sandoval, who lives in California, came back to visit because, after decades of civil war and brutal gang violence, the country is at peace under President Bukele. Other people, she knows, feel it's safe to return now as well. "We're feeling like we can go back home, just explore and get to know our own land that was taken away by the war, by the gangs, by the violence," she said. And she's not alone. "I traveled more than 175 miles through the country, speaking to a dozen people about the transformation their nation has experienced under the Salvadorian president, and how they felt about the U.S. deportations to their country. Most approved of the United States deporting gang members to El Salvador. Every person I interviewed told me stories of violence and crime they experienced before Bukele was elected. I'm going to share what they told me. But first, I want to tell you what happened in this country last month. A canopy of trees shades the two-lane highway leading from the Salvadorian capital, San Salvador, to the CECOP prison. On March 26, the city was abuzz with news that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem would visit CECOP. The news flashed across a digital billboard within the city. On the day of her arrival, troops dressed in fatigues carrying M16 rifles lined the route. Noem had a photo op standing in front of bare-chested, tattooed gang members that day during her visit. Her message to gang members was that they would end up in a mega prison if they attempted to come to America. The government's tight control surrounding Noem's prison visit was apparent to the press, with one local media outlet telling me they were not invited to the meeting between Bukele and Noem. Wendy Ramos, a spokesperson for El Salvador's presidency, declined the Epoch Times request to speak to Bukele's administration about the deportations. "No government official has been authorized to give any information," she said via phone. But the people of El Salvador were happy to give their views. These are their stories. Pigeons took flight with fluttering wings as laughing children chased them at Plaza Geraldo Barrios, a historic square in the center of San Salvador, named after a former president and military hero. The plaza, anchored by the 175-year-old Metropolitan Cathedral, is reminiscent of a bygone era and a stunning testament to the country's strong Christian identity. On a Saturday in March, Earth, Wind, and Fire September played over the loudspeaker, popped in from a nearby hotel as tourists and locals mingled. Speaking through an interpreter, Enrique Orellano, a farm worker from Teotepeque, wearing a USA shirt, said he was at the capital to buy pesticides to combat the screwworm outbreak that is hurting livestock in the country. The 61-year-old told me that Nome's visit was a moment of national pride, showing the world that El Salvador is no longer run by gangs. Where it used to be number one in crime, now it's number one in security, he said. Trump and Bukele are working hand in hand. But not everyone agreed. At the marketplace, not far from the plaza, 76-year-old Abel told me through an interpreter that the United States should handle its own problems. This country has no legal right to accept them, he said, of Trump's deportations. Trump should put them in jail over there. Likewise, his friend Vanessa, 30, said she doesn't think it's right for America to send Trendyagua gang members from Venezuela to her country. The United States should have all the resources it needs to house prisoners, she said. Both said that some people doubt that everyone at CECOT is a gang member. But let's take a step back and look at the hard numbers. Last month, the Trump administration deported 238 alleged Trendyagua gang members and 21 MS-13 gang members to CECOT. The deportation was documented by a video showing the prisoners being let off planes by the military, loaded onto buses and military-style vehicles, and whisked away to the prison. Meanwhile, Bukele agreed to house the foreign nationals for a year in CECOT for $6 million. And the deportations have continued since. On March 31st, the Trump administration deported more violent criminals from the Trendyagua and MS-13 gangs to El Salvador. In a social media post, Bukele said, quote, "Last night, in a joint military operation with our allies from the United States, we transferred 17 extremely dangerous criminals linked to Trendyagua and MS-13. Trump thanked Bukele in a letter, which the Salvadorian president posted on social media. Now, you may be wondering about the Salvadorian president. Who is Bukele? What are his policies? Why so much synergy with the Trump administration? Well, in a 2024 address to the United Nations, Bukele said his nation had to break the cycle of violence that started with the civil war and transitioned into gang violence. According to the populist president, his country has focused on replacing lawlessness with security for Salvadorians over the past 5 years. Quote, "Some people say that we are the country that has imprisoned thousands, but actually, we've freed millions," Bukele said. "Thousands of Salvadorians fled war and poverty. We've now made this a country to return to. Over the past 5 years, El Salvador has been born again." Salvadorian political analyst Herbert S. Mahan said that in El Salvador, the government investigated suspected gang members before putting them in CECOT. Those with gang tattoos and proven affiliations went through a legal process. Quote, "If these people weren't confirmed criminals, they would not be in our prisons, period," S. Mahan said of those in CECOT. While Bukele used a state of exception, which is similar to an emergency declaration, to round up gang members, S. Mahan said those who complain that Bukele is governing with an iron fist are misinformed. Quote, "This is not a dictatorship," he said. "The country was able to take down these criminal structures because they were declared terrorists." He said also that globalists want to make the world believe that El Salvador is violating the human rights of criminals inside the prisons. Quote, "That is not true. If anything, human rights have been restored in El Salvador," S. Mahan said. As for the gang members of El Salvador, they will likely spend life behind bars because of combined sentences for being gang members and terrorists, trafficking drugs, and committing rapes and murders. Meanwhile, The prisoners deported from the United States are being held as a service to the United States for a fee and aren't going through the legal process that inmates in the country would have gone through. Esmahan said he felt confident that El Salvador would not have accepted them without some confirmation that they were criminals. If you would like to understand this issue in greater detail, head over to my report. The link is in the notes. This was Darlene Sanchez with the Epoch Times. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.